If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Continue to pray for me as I'm seeking God's leadership and what He wants me to do. The church in Brookneal wants me to be their pastor, but I'm just not feeling that's where God wants me at. So I told them I would help them as long as I could until the Lord supplied something else somewhere else. So they've been good for me and I've been good for them. It's got me back in the pulpit preaching, and that's the main thing. It's hard to get away from what God's called you to do. And if you preachers know that, don't you? Amen. Even like this morning, I don't know about y'all, but when I go to a conference like this and I'm sitting in the pew, I want to be up here. That's just the way God's made us. When God called us in the ministry, we just love preaching and just love doing what God wants us to do. This morning, I'd like to read in Genesis chapter 32 in verse 29 for our text this morning. The Bible says, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there." And that's what I want to preach on today. And he blessed him there. Now, this chapter records several crucial experiences in Jacob's life as he makes his way from Laban's house. You know, it's amazing the man that Jacob was. He went to Laban's house and he saw a beautiful young woman. And my wife's been passed away now for a year and 7 months. And I am looking for a beautiful young woman. I shouldn't say a young woman. I'm old. I'm looking for a beautiful young old Christian lady. But anyway, Rachel caught the eye of him. His eyes kind of poked out. He worked 7 years for Rachel. He wakes up the next morning and laid in bed beside him was the lonely, homely looking sister Leah. She wasn't quite as pretty as Rachel was. So, you know, he decides, I want that other one. So, you know, he works another 7 years and to get Rachel again. So for 14 years, he works and he gets two women. Man, let me tell you, one woman's enough, okay? But he worked 14 years. But then he turns right back around and he works another 6 years for his wealth. So, you know, God really blessed him there as he was at Laban's house. But now, when you begin to think about him, during all this time, when you look at his past, you remember now he had served Laban, but he had run from his brother Esau. And that past had not left him. That past was still there. That was still in the back of his mind. What is my brother Esau? What is he going to do to me if he ever catches up with me? But for 20 years, he was more or less in safety away from that situation. But now Esau's coming. Esau's on his way. And again, Jacob's remembering. And is Esau going to forget about his forgotten past? Now, preachers, let me say something, because I think we all kind of forget about our past. We all have a past. I was saved when I was 6 years old, but we all have a past. Don't ever forget about your congregation and think you're better than your congregation. They have a past, but you also have a past. So don't ever forget about your past, but always remember where God brought you from. Amen? God brought us from our past. But although the Lord had forgiven us of our past, sometimes this old nature that we live in, we have to deal with that sometimes as we live our life for the Lord in the day and time that we live in. So now Jacob's thinking, would Esau forgive him? Or would Esau fight him? Look back in verse 13. Because in verse 13, we see where he tried to appease Esau with gifts. Look at verse 13. It says, "And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother." Now, look at these next two verses and just look and imagine the gifts and how much cost these gifts cost. Verse 14 says 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. Can you imagine receiving that much in gifts? Preachers, how would you like for your church to buy you a brand new Cadillac with all the trimmings on that? Would y'all not like that? We're looking at some expense here that Esau, that Jacob was given his brother Esau. But look back at verse 8. He was still afraid of Esau after all these years. In verse 7, the Bible says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape." So after all these years, he was still afraid of Esau, his brother, of what his brother could do to him. Now this morning, I want to notice some things about the last part of verse 29, where again it says, "And the Lord blessed him there." Now, we could put emphasis on different words there, can't we? "And the Lord blessed him there." Or we could say, "And the Lord blessed him there." We could also say, "And the Lord blessed him there." So, you know, we could put emphasis on either word we want to, but the main thing is I hope you get a blessing from this thought this morning, "And the Lord blessed him there." First of all, this morning, where did the Lord bless this man? I don't know about you, but I love the blessings of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord to me are a whole lot better than the chastisement of the Lord. When we do wrong and the Lord chastens us, I'm telling you, the Lord does a mighty good job of chastening us when we do wrong. I had much rather had the blessings of God rather than the chastening of the Lord. About you, you too, right? Amen. So Lord bless us all. Just live right and Lord bless us, right? Now, let's look at verse 24, because the very first thing that we discover is that the Lord blessed Jacob when he was in a place where he was alone. Look at verse 24. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Now, his family's not around him. He's away from his family. He has all these herds and all these flocks, all this wealth. And Jacob, right then at this point, he has left all that to be alone from that. He had all these servants. I mean, can you imagine having a servant to do everything for you? All you have to do is but speak, or they learn their job, they just do it. You do nothing but what you feel like you need to do. His servants are now gone from him. All the noise that was around him is now gone. He is alone all by himself with no influences from the outside. He is just alone all by himself. Now, I was thinking along the line that when we get our message together, men, do not we get alone with God all by ourselves? Is that not when the mighty hand of God really grips our hearts and begins to speak to us? When we get alone with God and we begin to pray and seek God's favor, what God would have us to preach at that given moment, we get all by ourselves with no interruptions, with no noise, with no influences of this life, just to spend time between myself and the Lord and nobody else. We just get alone with God, and things can happen when we get alone with God. Amen. I like the crowds. I enjoy people coming. I enjoy preaching to people. I enjoy ministering to people. But there are times that when God really gets with us, we have to get alone with God for God to speak to us and give us what we need. So here Jacob now is alone all by himself. Now, when he was alone is when God showed up to wrestle with Jacob. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Jacob is not wrestling God to get a blessing from God. He is wrestling, defending himself, refusing to yield to the very will of God. Now, let me share something with you about the will of God. God called me into the ministry when I was a youth pastor for 9 years under my dad's ministry. But then the Lord really tugged my heart to be a pastor. And Brother Altizer, you've probably been in the same boat. But you know, the Lord took my heart to be a pastor, and I didn't want to do it. You want me to tell you what Michael Kahn saw in ministry? Michael Kahn saw a bunch of hypocrites that didn't like my dad and gave my dad trouble. That's what my little teenage eyes saw. But you know, my little eyes didn't see the blessings that came beyond those times. Were you there? So you know, for 2 years, I ran from God. I didn't want any part to do with being a pastor. Nothing. I didn't want to do that. All these years, my dad, I would always ask him, Mike, you know, is God calling you to be a pastor? I says, no, Dad, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. One day, the Lord, he tugged at my heart so bad, I finally had to give in. And I'm so glad I did. At that point in time in my life, I was leading the music in the church. I was a youth pastor. I was teaching the young adult Sunday school class. I always had visitation, done everything I could. But that is not what God was calling me to do. Although I was doing some good things, but I was still not in God's will. God wanted me to preach and be the pastor. So one day I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I feel like now God's called me into ministry. And my dad says, you don't want to do that. But, you know, I know what he was doing. I didn't understand at the time what he was doing, but I understand the psychology that he was using on me. He was just wanting to make sure that it was God that was calling me and I wasn't just taking the calling because he was a pastor. I understand that fully now. I didn't understand it then, but I do understand that fully. But all night long, he had wrestled with God and he refused to admit that he had sinned. Now, the Lord wanted to break Jacob to get him to the place to say, not I, Lord, but you. Not me, but you, Lord. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament that kind of talks about that, is it not? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not I, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jacob had to get to that point in his life, Lord, it's not I that needs to be in the picture, but Lord, it's you that needs to be in the picture. Jacob had to get to that point in his life, and there he wrestled with God to yield to the ways of God. Now, then this weakened Jacob, and all that he could do is just hang on for dear life. Now, not only did the Lord bless Jacob while he was alone, but the Lord also blessed him while he was afraid. We saw that back in verse 7, right? Verse 7 again says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Now, he didn't know what Esau was going to do to him. I mean, that would be kind of tragic in our thoughts and minds, thinking, I may die, my brother may kill me. He did not know what was going to happen in his life when he met up with his brother. And preachers, I'm going to tell you the truth. Many times in the outcome of what we do, sometimes we don't know what's going to be the outcome of what we do. I mean, you get up here in the pulpit, you preach your hearts out. And I know the Word of God says that God's Word will not return void. And we just take that for what God promises, right? We just preach what God gives us. But sometimes our preaching hits hearts. Am I right? And sometimes when our preaching hits the hearts of those who are not living right, sometimes they give trouble. We know you don't have anybody like that here, do you? People give trouble. And it causes the church to be in an uproar over an individual who is not focused on God. They focused on self. They're selfish. Amen. They want what they want, and they don't want what God wants. Right. So sometimes we don't know what the outcome of some of these situations may be. All that we can do is just hang on and have faith in God and say, God, not I, but you, this is your business. And I'm here to do what you want me to do. And God, you have to take care of the situation. So first of all, we saw this morning, where did the Lord bless this man? Next of all, we see, when did God bless this man? I believe that God blessed Jacob, first of all, when an intensity came into his praying. Look at verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, an example of intensity. When I was about 12 years old, I didn't know any better. The house that my dad and mom lived in, the parsonage part, was next to a cow pasture, had cows in it, had a creek in behind our house. One day I was barefooted, and I went down by the creek. It had rained, the creek had overflowed, and I was down there playing in the creek, and I was barefooted. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go run into the cow pasture and play over there for a while. So to get through the fence, you had to raise the wires up to get through the fence. Well, being barefooted, standing on the wet ground, I grabbed the wrong wire. That is intensity. I was hanging on that wire and I was shaking and I could not let go. And I was in water barefooted, touching electricity. That is what intensity is. So when we think about Jacob here, the intensity of prayer is to pray until you know that God's answered your prayer. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I came down the altar every service to pray, Lord, you've called me, now I need a place to go. For 6 months, every service, I didn't care what people said about me. You know, why is he going down to the altar? He goes all the time. Why? That was between me and God, you know. I came every service and prayed, and within that 6 months, God opened the first door for me, for my first pastor. But I believe that God saw the intensity, my faith in praying. Lord, you've called me, then I need a place to go. And God saw my faithfulness in prayer, and God answered that prayer with that intensity. So, you know, we need to get intensity back in our prayer, that we pray something, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray until we know that God has answered that prayer. Now, I know that sometimes when we pray that sometimes we don't get an answer right away. We know with the prayer of Job, did it not take, 21 days for the prayer to come back? And we know that sometimes the prayers that we pray, we don't get an immediate answer, but we still pray with that intensity that, God, I need this in my life, and I'm praying for this need, and you know I need this, Lord. I'm going to keep praying until you meet that need. And God sees that need, you know that. Amen. And, you know, when God doesn't answer that prayer right away, does it not draw us closer to God? You know, knowing that we had this need and knowing that he's promised to supply our need. I mean, the Bible plainly says that in the book of Philippians, he's promised to supply our needs. Amen. So we just keep praying with that intensity. So with the intensity here, Jacob told God, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now I'm wondering this morning, are you the kind of Christian, are you the kind of preacher that God can trust and use? Because, you know, God asked Jacob, what is your name? Now, we know that God already knew Jacob's name, right? God knows everything, correct? Amen. He's omniscient. He knows everything. God knows all things. But now, a man does not truly see himself until, first of all, he has to see the Lord first. You know, how does the Lord see me? Even as a preacher, how does the Lord see me doing what he has called me to do? You know, it doesn't matter what people think of me, but what does the Lord think of me and what he's called me to do? You know, we're not here to please people. We are just here to please God. And when you please God, then that's when God gets in the picture and really begins to do a great work in the ministry that we're in. When God sees that it's all about him, not about me, but it's all about him. And again, that intensity in praying, and as we pray, but again, when we see the Lord, and we have to see the Lord in what we do. If you don't see the Lord's not in it. We have to see the Lord. Now, the question forced Jacob to confess to himself, I'm Jacob the schemer. Now you think about that. I mean, I stole my brother's birthright, Esau's birthright. I got with my mom and cooked the venison up, and we put something on my arms to make my arms feel hairy like my brother, and we schemed my dad. I got that birthright. I'm a schemer. Right? And then he went to Laban's house and schemed Laban. I mean, where did Jacob get all of his wealth from? Jacob got all of his wealth from Laban. He schemed him. But Laban also schemed him back to take the homely girl, right? So they both kind of schemed each other there. But now we come to this text and chapter, and now we're seeing that he is scheming his own brother by bringing all these gifts, and he's thinking, well, I'll scheme him, and this will appease him. So now he's scheming his brother. Jacob had to admit, I'm nothing but a schemer. That'd be hard to admit about yourself, wouldn't it? But he had to see the Lord and see himself. So when did God bless this man? Again, it's when the integrity came into his thinking about himself. And then last of all this morning, how did God bless Jacob? Now, we can gather how the Lord blessed him if we, first of all, listen to what the Lord said about him. Look at verse 28. It says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. So God's blessing is initially a call to holiness. Y'all get a hold of that? His blessing initially is a call to holiness. See, it's not lowering a standard to get a blessing. You know, so many churches will lower a standard and people will flood in and then they holler, look at how God is blessing. Are you with me, preachers? If you want a crowd, you can lower your standards. And you can call it a blessing all you want to, but I'm telling you, it's not a blessing from God. But here there's a sense of not lowering a standard, but in Jacob's life, we have the sense of him having a rising of a standard. Now he's looking to the Lord. Now he is admitting what he truly is on his inside. Now he can understand how and where he's failed God, but now he can turn his life over to God where God can use him. So the blessing went beyond that when you examine not simply what he said to him, but what he said of him. See, the last part of verse 28 says, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men. So the real blessing that God gives is not something that he gives to us, but it's something that he gives to us that we give to someone else. So like this morning, as God has given me this message, God blessed me with this message. But God is using me to bless you with a message that God gave me. It's just like in our everyday life, as we live for God, when God blesses us, it's great to share the blessings, how God's blessed us with someone else. Amen. To give them what God's doing. Amen. Y'all understand that? Amen. So again, it's not about us, it's bragging on what God is doing. Amen. So now, the whole blessing that came to Jacob that day was that God lifted him to a condition to where he was usable. Preachers, I don't know about y'all, but I want to be usable. I want God to use me in doing what he wants me to do. Whether it's me moving back to South Carolina, I still own a house down there, or whether it's God keeping me in this area, or God moving me wherever. My kids want me to stay here. But my kids understand from my past that I have to go where God sends and where God leads. And it may not be what they want, but I have to do what God wants. And still in the meantime, love my kids the best I can, even at long distance. But anyway, the Lord is good. And the Lord blessed him there. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this day you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you blessed Jacob with. But Lord, you had to get him to the point to where he had to look to you and realize, Lord, that he was nothing. That, Lord, he saw himself differently. Lord, help me as a pastor to see myself as you see me. And Lord, may I be usable to do whatever you ask me to do or go wherever you send me. For it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I preached a message years ago on there. All of us have a there. Jacob had a there. Elijah had a there. God sent him to a brook, and there God blessed him. And we just need to make certain we're at our there so we can enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Khan, tremendously. Let's get our hymn books once again, if you wouldn't, be turning to hymn number 42. Hymn number 42.